Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Team Dinkytown Real Estate brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, I know that recruiting season is going to be picking up here soon, and there are going to be a number of new guys signing with the University of Minnesota. And let's just have a message to those parents that might be looking to buy a place around here like some of the other football parents or athletes. Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group can help you. And guess what? A portion of that commission that would normally go to the real estate agent is going to go to Dinkytown Athletes to support your son or daughter in whatever sport they play. It's just a win-win, Ryan.
What a personalized ad. It's almost like one of our listeners, a player parent, has actually taken us up on that advice, and they were very happy with the results. So if you are a player parent, or if you are just a giant Gopher fan and you want to try to get into the real estate game, whether it's buying or selling a home and you don't know what you're doing, you're looking for a real estate agent, go to teamdinkytown.com, peruse around there, and then when you're ready, give them a call at 612-250-8562.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to We're Killing Time on Your Thanksgiving Adventures or Your Drive to Camp Randall as your Minnesota Golden Gophers travel to Madison to take on the 5-6 Wisconsin Badgers. Luke, how do you feel knowing that, unfortunately for a lot of loved ones in the car right now, they have to listen to our dulcet tones because dad's driving?
I think it's really unfortunate for those folks. I hope that they have headphones to watch or consume whatever content that they want. But if you want to try this for the very first time, we're a couple of nice guys. And frankly, you're going to be listening to what I would call my it would be my Michael Jordan flu game because I'm here rocking doing a podcast episode with strep throat. So here we go.
Well, as you often tell me, not all heroes wear capes. So I think the listeners and myself are very appreciative. It's me into on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Is your plan to now hang around home? Are you going to still be contagious, or what are your Thanksgiving plans?
I've got the antibiotics. I should be in good shape. I'll jump on an airplane to Seattle here in no time. So. I'm feeling a lot better than I did, but I definitely am coughing. So my mute game's going to have to be on point, you know, change your best, Ryan.
Well, I will be heading over to, I think it's Wauwatosa is where my in-laws Thanksgiving will be. I'm not incredibly sure actually where it's going to be, somewhere between Madison and Milwaukee. My lovely wife, she is from the great state of Wisconsin. She's from the Kenosha area, has a lot of family in the Madison and Milwaukee area, so we'll head over there. And then she's actually going to go to a football game.
Wait, she's going to go with you?
She's not going with me. She's going to go with my former sister-in-law to the game,
okay.
Which is very funny to me because if you know anything about my wife, she's not the biggest football fan in the world.
Yeah.
So she, of all the games that she has picked, you know what the other game that she actually went to?
She went with you to UCLA, didn't she?
She did, but she didn't go to the game.
Oh, okay.
She stayed back, but she was at that Wisconsin game a few years back where it was ungodly cold.
Oh,
at
really?
Bank Stadium. And now she gets to travel to Madison and attend a game where it's going to be the coldest game of the entire season, which isn't quite in comparison to that one a few years ago. But yeah, she's got some interesting timing. I'll tell you that much.
I definitely am going to invite her to our friends tailgate and game next year because it'll probably be one of the non-conference games. And let me tell you, it'll just be much more pleasant than any of these super
looking
cold
at
games.
My ugly face?
No, just
my face for podcasting.
No, just literally from the standpoint of the weather, right? Like it won't be freezing if these are the only games she's going to. So, yeah. I don't know, man. That's her choice, I guess.
It is her choice, which I've told her it's an interesting choice. But I guess in a move that I'm trying to get some brownie points in, Luke, since she's going to go to the game, I'm going to see Wicked tonight, which I know nothing about. I know that it's something along the Wizard of Oz, and I know there's some song called Gravity.
It's not bad. I've seen it. It was good. I actually saw it in London. The very first time as a college student, and I had no idea what I was going into, and I was like, "Well, that's pretty cool." So you'll have fun.
Yeah, that's where I told one of my best friends she was a theater gal, and so I told her we're gonna go see Wicked, and she's like, "Do you know anything about it?" And I'm like, "No, all I know is something about the Wizard of Oz." Like I said, there's some song at the end that it's called Gravity. She's like, I wish I could be you and just be incredibly naive and have no knowledge going into it. So,
yeah.
See, look at this. The take and give of marriage. This is the advice that people get when they listen to this podcast.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. All right. Should we talk about this upcoming battle for Paul Bunyan's axe?
I think that's what the listeners would probably want us to get into, hey?
All right. So this is, I think people should know, like you routinely can assume that this game is going to be played on a Saturday. Well, for now, and maybe for the foreseeable future, this game is going to be played on a Friday, Ryan, on Black Friday. So it'll be an 11 a.m. kick in Madison, Wisconsin. So make sure that you update your calendars accordingly, because this will not be your normal Saturday fixture. It'll be a Friday fixture.
So take a break from putting out the lights or whatever you might be doing the day after Thanksgiving, tuning into some Mariah Carey, whatever it may be, because the TV overlords that now run the great sport, I would say, of college football have decided that they want Paul Bunyan's axe, in which Wisconsin leads 63-62-8 on national television, a primetime game. I would imagine, considering the amount of people that have Black Friday off, there's – what do you think? If I set the over-under – at 4 million people. Again, there is no other game, I don't believe, competing with this one, because the Chiefs play at 3.
Yeah, I would say 3 to 4 million would be a reasonable number.
On CBS.
Yeah.
Everybody's grandmother or wherever you're going is going to have this on the television, something to have on as you're doing miscellaneous holiday activities.
Yeah, for sure. This is going to feature the 6-5 Minnesota Golden Gophers, who are 4-4 in conference, against the 5-6 Wisconsin Badgers, who are 3-5 in conference. Wisconsin has a 22-year bowl streak that they're trying to keep alive. I think Derek noted on our breakdown recently. They're going to be playing like an animal backed into a corner, right? If you're Luke Fickell and staff, it's. Well, I shouldn't even say Luke Fickell and staff. It should be, is it McIntosh is the AD, if I remember correctly? He's the one that probably is even more backed into a corner because he was the one that went out and got Luke Fickell.
He may have the title of athletic director, but we all know that the Wisconsin Lord and Savior, Barry Alvarez, who's commenting on the offensive coordinator.
Really?
Well, he made the comment, I believe, somewhere along the lines of back when Phil Longo was there. We don't really know what our offensive identity is, and that's about the kiss of death, because the next week, the maestro of the dairy raid that was the Wisconsin Badgers offense was let go.
Yeah. So things maybe aren't great in Madison to a certain extent. They still have a chance to be bowl eligible. The Gophers are looking for win number 7. And any time you can win this game, it's always icing on the cake. Often many fans will look at this as basically a flag in the cap for the specific season, Ryan. They're going to look especially at the season.
They're 0-3 in rivalry games this year. They lost the Pig.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They lost last week. They lost the Bell.
They lost to Michigan.
It didn't get the little brown jug. It's been a very emotional season considering the amount of one score games, one possession games. Every single game feels like an NBA game, in which my conspiracy theory with the NBA, which I've said for years now, is you never have to watch an NBA game until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter because they're all the same. Well, for whatever reason, the Golden Gopher football season, if you just didn't tune in until the fourth quarter, there's a great chance it would be plus or minus 7 points in one direction. And I think this game this weekend is going to be very much along those same lines.
All right, let's talk a little bit about injuries, Ryan. This is the last game of the regular season. Nobody is healthy. But what are the injuries we are monitoring?
Yeah, it's you know, are we all truly at 100%? You know, I think we're all truly day to day at this stage of our lives. I mean, me in my 30s, you in your late 50s. Luke, how old? I know this. You're late 30s, right?
Yeah, late 30s.
So on the Wisconsin side of things, there's a lot of ambiguity with a lot of important players. I think that starts with their leading target receiver, and that is Will Pauling, someone that did not play last week. He has, from what I understand, battled injuries for most of the season. He's been able to play through them, did not play last week, which, again, he leads them. He has 27 more targets than anyone else on the roster. He is their slot receiver, leads them in reception. So if he's not able to go, that would be a big loss for them. But I think for me, it's defensively, where their best player, their Tyler Newbin equivalent, Hunter Wohler, he did not play last week. He was in the concussion protocol. He did travel, from what I understand, down to Lincoln, which is a great indicator that he is progressing into the protocol, but it's a short week. We're going to have to find out and see, because Fickell's not going to say anything, and he did not say anything this week about Wohler's injury status. But if Wohler's able to return, that is a huge upgrade for the Wisconsin back end. And then the other one I'm watching is their linebacker, Jake Chaney, who I think is probably their best linebacker. He left the game last week against Nebraska, wasn't putting really any weight on one of his legs, and did not return. So if Chaney's not able to go, that would be another very important loss for that Wisconsin defense. Now, on the Minnesota side of things, Anthony Smith got banged up in that game. He did return, had a giant ice pack on his ankle when he came to the press conference afterwards. I expect him to play. You saw Tyler Cooper return at left guard for Minnesota, the Shrine Bowl acceptee. I think Minnesota is probably healthier than what we've seen, especially on the Wisconsin side of things. But in a game that is going to be frigid, I think a lot of it's going to come down to physicality.
Yeah, and you know, typically this game, Ryan, has often been a trenches game. The team that wins in the trenches usually comes out the victor. I would expect that would be no different here. All right, Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, Minnesota is averaging 26.5 points per game. In terms of total yardage, they're averaging 328 yards of total offense. The separation of those running to passing, you have about 104 yards rushing, and then you have, let's see here, you have 223 yards of 223 yards of passing. Conversely, Wisconsin is giving up 23 points per game. In terms of total yardage, Wisconsin is giving up, this list is bad, I'm so sorry, 339 yards of total offense. And then additionally, Wisconsin is giving up 163 yards rushing, and then they are giving up 182 yards through the air. So how is this Gopher offense going to find success against the Wisconsin defense?
Yeah, it's a Wisconsin defense that is interesting to kind of get into the weeds about. And I, like I said, there's a lot of key injuries that I wish I had the answers to as we record this prior to Thanksgiving that we won't have answers to until 9 a.m. Central Time on Friday. Will Hunter Woller play? Will Jake Chaney play? How healthy is the rest of the Badger defense? And I'd also be remiss if I don't take Luke for one last time. Luke, I'm going to hold out my hand, and we're going to take a little stroll down Narrative Street for the Wisconsin defense. Why is that? A lot of these listeners may be asking. It's the Aaron Witt revenge game. Now, I don't know if it's Aaron Witt getting revenge, if it's Minnesota getting revenge. You may be thinking to yourself, Aaron Witt, why does that name sound familiar? He was a kid from Winona back, had to be 5 years ago at this point, initially committed to Minnesota. Then he flipped to Iowa, and then he flipped to Wisconsin. Now, he has battled injuries throughout his entire career for the Badgers, but now Minnesota's going to get to go against a kid who is one time committed to them from the great state of Minnesota. This is a Wisconsin run defense in conference play, Luke, that has not been, I would say, up to snuff. They are the worst team in the Big Ten in run defense and conference play, allowing 171 yards per game, third worst in the conference at 4.67 yards per game. And just last week in Lincoln, Nebraska tailbacks ran for 154 yards, three touchdowns on almost 6 yards of carry. I think you know where I'm going to go with this, but for the last time in the regular season, I'm going to plead my case to the football gods that can the Minnesota Moving Company put it together? Because you have the most gifted left tackle in my lifetime for the Golden Gophers, and Ariante Ursary, who just performed very well against Abdul Carter last week, probably solidified himself as a first-round pick, probably in the back half of the first round. You have two guards in Tyler Cooper and Quinn Carroll who are going to have a shot to get drafted in the next NFL draft. And yet we sit here today in Minnesota in line yards has about the worst they've been in 15 years. Now, for those of you just tuning into this podcast and you're thinking to yourself, what in the absolute world are line yards? Did he just make that up? No, it's an advanced football metric that, and let me give you the definition. Line yards is something that attempts to measure the number of running yards that are attributed to the offensive line versus attributed to the running back. For example, in 2022, Minnesota ranked seventh in college football in almost 3.5 O-line yards per rush. This year, through 11 games, they are now at a career worst. For my existence, at least covering this team, at 2.67. That is 118th in college football. Obviously horrendous. Lowest mark for any offensive line in the Fleck era. Lowest mark for any Gopher offensive line since 2010. Now, I would tell you, the run game issues aren't just them. It's also the tailbacks, in which in the two games prior to Penn State, Minnesota tailbacks had only forced 3 missed tackles on 45 carries. Now, last week, Marcus Major and Darius Taylor off the bye week look healthier. I think they forced around 10 missed tackles on their carries. But I went back and rewatched that game, and I tell you, I think Darius missed a couple of holes where he tried to get cute and go bounce it east-west, should have put his foot in the ground, got north-south. The offensive line blocked it well. There's not just one thing I would point to with the run game issues for Minnesota. They rank 16th in the conference in that aspect. But in a game that is going to be cold, it is going to be frigid, it is going to be nippy, I mean, you're going to have your offensive line come out with physicality. They have to be able to put it together like they did, say, against USC. And for someone like Quinn Carroll, and I got to talk to him earlier this week at media availability, this is a game that means a lot to him. He grew up a giant Gopher fan, grew up in the great state of Minnesota. He knows what this game means. And I think he even told us that this was the one game every year, everybody, all the casuals, and I'm paraphrasing that, he didn't exactly say the casuals, but that everybody cared about. And in one that is going to be tightly contested, the offensive line has to come to play in this, Luke.
Yeah, I think there's no question. Like we had mentioned earlier, you know, this is the kind of game that you have to win in the trenches, Ryan. Typically, that dictates who wins this game, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, it's just whether you want to look at yardage stats, whether you want to get into the advanced stats of, say, Wisconsin ranks 107th in college football in rushing defensive success rate. Minnesota on the flip side, not very good on the other side of it. But this is one where it's the run game, the last game of the season, is going to be such a huge part for both offenses.
All right, let's catch maybe a quick break, and then we will preview when the Gophers are on defense.
Home Field Apparel again brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, the holidays are right around the corner. The Gophers are going to play on Black Friday, and Home Field Apparel has a promo code for you. It's BFCM24 to save 30% site-wide. So if you're looking for the best apparel for your Gopher-loving fan, or maybe just your college football-loving fan, again, Home Field Apparel has great vintage and throwback retro designs. 30% can be saved if you use the promo code BFCM24.
So if you're looking for some stocking stuffers, which is a couple of these new hats, the Goldie Trucker hat, the vintage corduroy hat, or maybe you're thinking about spending up a little bit with that promo code to get the Minnesota football box, which is some awesome, cool, unique, very comfortable Gopher gear. They've got everything for you. And Luke, what is that promo code for everybody?
Again, it is BFCM249. And I have to be honest, I got my brother-in-law the corduroy trucker hat for Christmas. He's not a football fan. He is 100% a tech geek, but I got him that. He's going to look fly. It's going to look real good. Again, BFCM24 saves you 30% on home field from now until the 3rd of December. BFCM24.
The Burns Insurance Agency has helped make Gopher Gridiron Radio possible for a number of years, and now it is open enrollment season. You know what? Maybe you should open enroll your home or your auto insurance. I think that's where the Burns Insurance Agency can help you, because they're going to do a lot of the work for you.
They will, and that's the beauty of an independent insurance agent. They're not going to just go with whatever their company is. They're going to put you up against 20 different companies to get you the best coverage at the best price. And if you're thinking to yourself, who actually does this? I'm telling you, I was out on Oak Street before a game just about a month ago. I had somebody come up to me and say, hey, I switched over to your father. He saved me $700 with his home and auto. So if you're thinking to yourself, do these guys actually save me money? Yes. Austin is just like you, me, and everybody else. He's just one of us. So what I want you to do, shoot him an email today, bill@insurancebyburns.com, or check them out online, insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a look when the Gophers are on defense on the season. Wisconsin is averaging 24 points per game. Conversely, if we look, Minnesota is giving up 18.5 points per game. In terms of total offense, Wisconsin is averaging 367 yards of total offense. When it comes to rushing, they're averaging 164 yards of total offense. And as it comes to passing, they are averaging 202 yards. Conversely, Minnesota is giving up 302 yards of total offense. They are giving up 119 yards on the ground, and they are giving up 182 through the air, Ryan. So how will this Gopher offense, or sorry, this Gopher defense find success against this Wisconsin offense, whose quarterback has had a tendency to turn the ball over?
Just a little bit. Yeah, it's been an interesting year for the Wisconsin offense, because if you just zoom out from a 30,000-foot view, Wisconsin offense hasn't been bad, hasn't been great. It's been fine. Yet that's not what Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator who has now been fired, was hired to do. They hired him from North Carolina when Luke Fickell took the job. I think a lot of Wisconsin fans would tell you that they were lacking an identity. They tried to be a lot of different things. They tried to be able to throw the football quite a bit, yet their run game was inconsistent at best. And so when you look at Wisconsin, I mean, they're on a four-game losing streak, but after that Oregon game, in which I think a lot of Wisconsin fans and probably Luke Fickell were like, we had a great chance to win that football game. And they did, yet they only scored 13 points and they couldn't put it together in that second half. Phil Longo gets the axe, the maestro of what Luke affectionately loved to call the dairy raid. So there's a new play caller there last week against Nebraska. It's tough to know how much you want to take from that, because that game kind of got out of hand in the second half, especially. I'd say the biggest things I noticed from Wisconsin's change at coordinator were more RPOs, which is something that Minnesota struggled with in that first half against Rutgers. They've seen it at different points throughout the schedule, even going back to the North Carolina opener. But I think that's something that Minnesota will be ready for. It's something to where they can run the football pretty well. I think they're fourth in the conference in running yards per game. They lost their starting tailback coming into the season, which it's been an interesting year for Wisconsin running backs, because you've got Braylon Allen tweeting that he's going to tell a story one day of what actually happened.
Yeah, that was like early in the season, right?
Yes, that was. I think that was late September, because I believe I was in Ann Arbor in my hotel room and I saw all that go down and being like, oh boy. So that's interesting. You've also got who was their leading rusher coming back. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Ches Malusi. Ended up medically retiring. So they're on two different tailbacks now. One's a true freshman by the name of Darion Dupree. He's a pretty good player. But then they have an Oklahoma running back transfer as well, and Tawi Walker, someone that leads them with 828 rushing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns. So not only do we get the Aaron Witt game, Luke, we get the Oklahoma running back versus Oklahoma transfer running back, and Walker versus Marcus Major in this one from the Minnesota versus the Wisconsin side of things. I think the Wisconsin offensive line's pretty good, but it comes down to Braden Locke, someone that has been incredibly inconsistent for them. He is coming off his best game of the season, or at least maybe not his best game of the season. I'd say his best game since probably Rutgers, where he completed 66% of his passes, 3 passing touchdowns. But the thing to watch, and I'm going to harp on it a lot, especially in my keys to the game, are takeaways. Minnesota has, in their 6 wins this season, if they have forced multiple turnovers, they've won the game. If they have not forced multiple takeaways, they've lost the game. And now they face Braden Locke, who has thrown an interception in 8 consecutive games. And he's also, I believe, 2nd in the Big Ten in what Pro Football Focus loves to call turnover-worthy play percentage. So it's essentially plays that should have been a turnover, whether it's a dropped fumble, whether it's a pass that hits the cornerback in the hands and he drops it. Whatever they deem to be a turnover-worthy play, he ranks 2nd among all Big Ten quarterbacks in that. So Minnesota's got to find a way to stop the run enough to make Braden Locke throw the football 30 to 35 times in this game. Because if there's anything true that any Badger fan listening to this knows, there's going to be 1 or 2 decisions in this football game that are going to absolutely make Badger fans go into surrender cobra, which, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't know what that expression means, it is safe to put into the Google machine. You'll see it at the end of essentially every 4th quarter game at home where the team loses in an unexpected fashion. But he is prone to turn over the football. And Minnesota's keys to success this year are they need multiple takeaways.
All right. Should we get to the facts and figures of this game?
Oh, I suppose.
All right. So in terms of facts and figures, Minnesota and Wisconsin have been playing football for a long time, Ryan. They've played 133 times. Wisconsin leads the series 63-62-8, meaning that there were 8 ties. Did you know, Ryan, the rivalry began in 1890? It's the longest and oldest in college football, and is but it did have one interruption in 1906. Did you know that?
No, I'm trying to think of why that would have been.
All right. In 1906, President Theodore Roosevelt suspended college football due to safety concerns. So I would say that it's probably even more of a safety concern now, but we haven't suspended it. But that's a totally different conversation.
My outdoorsman president, that was Theodore Roosevelt, suspending college football is interesting. Okay, didn't know that one. There's your fun fact for the Thanksgiving table today.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that was funny. Obviously, Wisconsin won last year. Minnesota is 6-5. They're 4-4 in conference. Wisconsin is 5-6. They are 3-5 in conference. If we're looking at the betting odds, Ryan, we'll get into this again, I'm sure. Wisconsin is currently a 2-point favorite, with the over-under being 44.5 is what I'm seeing. Have you seen anything else? I know it opened there. Like
it opened there. Yeah, Wisconsin has been a favorite since this line opened. I've seen 2.5, maybe even 3 for Wisconsin. But I think the thing to just remember is, and I'm sure I'm about to steal your thunder, is whether you want to look at the betting line, whether you want to look at different advanced analytic websites. You know, one of our favorites, it's collegefootballinsiders.com. It's got Minnesota with a 52% win probability. Luke, do you know what Kelly Ford is?
It's a 49-51 in favor of Wisconsin. So it's very, very close.
It's 50-50.
Yeah, it's basically 50-50. This was one of our coin flip games, Ryan, early in the season. We'll get to that later as well. Taking a look at the weather, right now, for an 11 a.m. kick, it looks like it'll be about 26 degrees. It really will not actually warm throughout that game, Ryan. It'll actually drop a degree. The wind is going to play a factor. It's going to be around 15 miles an hour from the west northwest. So it's definitely going to play a role in this specific game.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe the wind as much. I mean, I'll see when there.
It's a few days out. We're recording on a Tuesday. It's going to be played on a Wednesday, right?
So. And I would say I think the wind thing kind of gets – I mean, we'll see. I've been at Camp Randall where there have been some games. The wind certainly has affected it, and that's where you're hoping that you can win the opening toss to have the wind with you in the fourth quarter. The question I have is someone who spends way too much time in the woods, way too much time on the water – Is it a sustained 15? Is it gusting to 15? Those are very different outcomes and scenarios. But either way, with a high of 20-ish, with the wind of whatever it's going to be, that wind chill is going to be in the low teens.
All right. One little fun fact that I like to bring up. I can't remember if I brought this up previously. Yes, Minnesota plays for Paul Bunyan. Minnesota and Wisconsin play for Paul Bunyan's axe. In that era, they've been playing for it since 1948. Wisconsin leads that all-time series 46-27-3. Wisconsin had a very long winning streak of 14 games from 2004 to 2017. But Ryan, what many people may not know is that Wisconsin and Minnesota used to play for the Slab of Bacon from 1930 to 1943, which is a 13-year period in which the Gophers were particularly dominant, winning 11 games and only losing 3 while possessing the trophy. And then there's a fun story that the trophy's era ended dramatically in 1943 after a Minnesota victory. The trophy was seemingly lost in the post-game field rush of Wisconsin student Peg Modi. I don't know how to
pronounce
it.
What a name.
Yeah, Peg Modi Watrous. was supposed to hand over the trophy, but in the chaos, it disappeared. Minnesota's coach, George Hauser, reportedly suggesting holding off on the trophy exchange until after World War II. It wasn't until 1948, a new trophy, Paul Bunyan's axe, was introduced to replace the Slab of Bacon. So all we can say is they could still be playing for Slab of Bacon if it wasn't for Peg, because Peg obviously screwed this up.
Man. Look at that. I feel like I know a lot, and then you give me some nuanced story about back in the 40s. About, yeah, we'll figure it out after the World War. Yeah, seems like the priorities probably were in the right spot there.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's hilarious. So, let's get to your keys to this game, Ryan, before we give our predictions.
Yeah, let's do so. I'd say offensively, I'm going to, for the last time in the regular season here, turn my gaze and cast it upon the offensive line. They need to be able to put it together in this game. You saw last week against Penn State, Penn State's defensive line was in the backfield far too often, especially as Minnesota was attempting to run the football. It's something to where I can't quite figure out why that unit that has so many good individual players can't seemingly put it together for quarters and halves and games on end. You saw them come out and run the ball well on that opening drive on their opening script against Penn State. But once the adjustments got into play, just too many guys getting into the backfield, too much penetration by Penn State. And so when I look towards this game, this isn't nearly the same Wisconsin. I mean, going from Wisconsin's run defense to Penn State's is very different. This is one Minnesota has to be able to run the football in. I mentioned it earlier. This is a Wisconsin run defense and conference play that is last in rushing yards allowed. They're third worst in yards per carry. You look at the advanced stuff. I mean, their defensive success rate against the run is 107th in college football. So this has to be a game where you can run. I mean, it's just one that even if Hunter Waller plays, even if Jake Chaney comes back, whatever their defensive personnel situation is, the offensive line has to have a really good day. Darius Taylor and Marcus Major have to have a consistent day. And if you can protect Max Brosmer, I believe that he's going to put it together here. I think this one means a lot to a lot of different people around here, as it always does. But I think there's a big difference in this game internally, externally, with 6-6, what could have been versus 7-5 with a rivalry win. It's still not going to satisfy everyone. I understand that. A lot of coin flip games, a lot of one possession games. But you'd like to think that Minnesota can run the football a little bit. If they can't, it's tough for me to say that they're going to come back with the axe. Now, defensively, you've got to make the Badger quarterback, Braden Locke, put it together for 60 minutes. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ryan, it doesn't matter who the Badger quarterback is. It could be Russell Wilson. It could be you. They're going to look like the next coming of J.J. McCarthy against the Golden Gophers. Now, I know that Derek Burns believes that. I think Luke probably believes that. But Braden Locke has been very inconsistent for them. They fired their offensive coordinator prior to that Nebraska game. I mean, it's just with Braden Locke, he's thrown an interception in 8 consecutive games. He ranks last among all Big Ten quarterbacks with 250 or more dropbacks in Pro Football Focus's passing grade. He ranks second worst in turnover-worthy play percentage. But he's also had a lot of passes dropped. He and Max Brosmer have 18, which is second most among all Big Ten quarterbacks. Now, he's coming off his best game since Rutgers. I mentioned that earlier. 66% of his throws were completed, 3 scores. But to me, it comes down to the run. Can you stop the run in Camp Randall? Wisconsin ranks 23rd in the country in rushing success, while they are 101st in passing the football. They want to be able to run it. They want to be able to lean on their 2 tailbacks and Walker and Darian Dupree. They've got a good offensive line. And if the Badgers are just able to run it and set up 3rd and shorts for Locke in the passing game, that's going to be bad news. So getting Locke to make rushed decisions with the football is going to be the biggest catalyst for them. If they can, you're going to have the opportunity to get multiple takeaways. If you can't, it's going to be a long day, because I think they've got some talented receivers too. Guys like Will Pauling, guys like Benny Anthony, guys like Bryson Green, among others. But to be able to have success and get the axe back, Corey Heatherman's defense has to slow down Dupree and Walker and make Locke throw it 25, 30, 35, even 40 times to beat you. If he has to throw the ball 30 or more times, I feel pretty confident that Minnesota can get multiple takeaways. And my final key is winning the turnover margin, because I said it earlier, in every Gopher game that they have forced multiple takeaways this season, they've won. In every game that they've had one or fewer takeaways, they've lost. To even put it in a different way, in the 6 wins for Minnesota this season, they are plus 15 in the take give with 17 takeaways.
Right.
In their 5 losses, they're minus 5 in the take give with only 3 takeaways. And when I went back and looked through the recent history of this game, it's 3-3 in the last 6. But you even go back a decade, seemingly the team that has won the take give has won the game every time. Now, I'm being picky in that instance and including some turnover on downs in that to prove my point, which classic journalism, fake news, that's what I am. But the truth for Minnesota this season is, if they get multiple takeaways, they've won every game. If they don't, they've lost every game. So in a game that is going to be flipped by a coin, you have to be able to force multiple takeaways.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. Obviously, this defense under Corey Heatherman, you know, you're going to give up some big plays, but you hope to be able to get some big plays yourself, whether that be turnovers or, you know, tackles for loss or sacks, right? And hopefully they can continue to put pressure on Braden Locke. I think the one thing that you noted, which, you know, gives me concern, is the Gophers have struggled against the RPO game. And I have seen instances where Locke has been very, very effective at running that. That's definitely where I have some concern, but hopefully you can put him in situations and put pressure on him and not play that conservative style that we saw maybe against Rutgers, for instance. And then you're able to force some early turnovers and get a healthy margin and force them to be in a situation where they have to throw the ball.
Yeah. There's just so many little things within this game too, where we can, you know, I'll touch on this before we have you give your prediction. Is I also think there is some mental gymnastics to go through, which I understand is very tough to quantify, but this Wisconsin team has lost four straight games. The question I have is, are they backed into a corner, or are they just going to, if you can get up early, this thing turns into what it was in 2018 and you can just pour the gas on.
Yeah.
Now I would say that Wisconsin has been much, much better at home this season, including their last two home games against Penn State and Oregon. Yes. They're leading Oregon into the fourth quarter. They're leading Penn State at halftime and it just fell apart. Mm-hmm. Like, they have played much better at home this season than they have on the road. And I think that's baked into that Vegas line of Wisconsin being favored by 2-3.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's good that you point out the specifically that game against Oregon. You could also even look back to that Penn State game, right? They were close with them before Penn State put on 14 in the fourth quarter and ran away with it, right? So you definitely want to try and get an early lead, but they've been very, very good at home. All right, so just a reminder that this game, Ryan, it has the Gophers a 2-point underdog with the over under being 44. Oh, actually the live number I see is actually 43.5, so that's what we'll go on. It opened at 44.5, but it's been bet down to 43.5. Even live though, still it is a -2. Looking back to our predictions throughout the season, Ryan, overall you're 8-3 and I'm 7-4. Over under, you're 3-7 and I'm 4-6. I barely nipped you there. I think I actually had some bad math last week and I misspoke there. But against the spread, you are absolutely dominant at 5-6 and I'm 2-9. So as we look at this prediction, again, this is a game that we preseason labeled as a coin flip game, Ryan. Mm-hmm. This far this season, we've done a very good job of being able to identify coin flip games. The two exceptions that we said either, like, well, one, we said that Maryland was going to be a coin flip game and it was not. The other exception was we said that the Michigan game was not going to be a coin flip game and it was. And then Iowa, we said it was going to be a coin flip game and it also was not.
And then I would argue the Penn State game ended up being a coin flip game, yes, especially at the end there.
Yeah, that was going to be my last point, is that one ended up being a coin flip game as well. Mm-hmm. It's been a fascinating season to go through. I think we'll talk probably after the season about the parity in the Big Ten, and really in college football in general, and how I think it's better for college football. But yeah, let's get to our predictions. Again, a reminder, this is a 2-point favorite for Wisconsin, 43.5 on the over under. Am I going first this time or you? I think you went first last time.
Yeah. So why don't you take it?
All right. I will take, well, preseason, we both picked Minnesota. I picked it 21-20, which is basically right on the line. You picked 23-24, which is also, or 23-21 for Minnesota. So both of us were very, very close. I will go with that 21-20 Minnesota wins. I'll stick with my preseason prediction. And I do think this will be interesting. I think it'll be close. I really do think Wisconsin is backed into a corner. You either play incredibly well or incredibly poorly. So this is probably just a really bad pick, but I'll go 21-20.
All right. So like I always do, let's have the Mr. Sunshine scenario. Glass half full. Minnesota finds a way to turn over Braden Locke on the opening possession for the Badgers. That leads to an early Darius Taylor touchdown. It puts the Badgers in a hole that they can't even dig out of. Your Gopher defense gets three takeaways on the day. Max Brosmer throws for a couple scores. The Gophers win running away 27-13. Now, in the Johnny Raincloud scenario, the Badgers win at the line of scrimmage on both sides, which causes Max Brosmer to have another multi-turnover game. And it also allows Wisconsin to hide Braden Locke's turnover-prone nature. In that world, in that scenario, the axe stays in Madison after another 200-plus rushing day. Wisconsin wins 28-10. Now, as always, reality lies somewhere in between. I still think it's a coin flip game. I still think it's one where you can talk yourself into any type of scenario here, one way or the other. I think it's 50-50, whatever it may be. That may surprise some people, considering that Wisconsin has lost four straight. Minnesota has lost a couple in a row, too. I just think Wisconsin plays better at home, but I also think this is a very motivated Minnesota team right now. One that they want to prove that Fleck has talked about, you know, they think they're an 8-9 win team, but unfortunately the record is what it is. Okay, well then go out and show it. I mean, eventually you are what your record says you are. I think Minnesota's more healthy. I think they're probably more talented right now. So I think this game is the same as it ever was. It's a one-score game into the fourth quarter, but a late Daniel Jackson touchdown puts Minnesota up. And who else but the kid from Esco seals it with his Big Ten leading sixth interception. Wisconsin's 22-year bowl streak is snapped. So I will continue on from what I said in the preseason. I thought this team was going to go 7-5. Said that back in August. I'll say they win this game 20-16. That is 20-16. The Gophers get the axe back, avoid Detroit, and essentially punch their ticket for probably Charlotte or Nashville for the bowl game. But so, a 7-5 would certainly, with the axe in your hand, leave a much better taste in the mouths of everybody.
Yeah, so we both picked an under, which is interesting.
Well, I would say I went back and looked at the total scores for the last four seasons for this game. In 2023, there were 42 points. In 22, there were 39. In 21, there were 36. And in 2020, in that COVID season, there was a combined 37 points. So I think that line, especially with the temperatures, is probably a little high for me.
All right. So I think that totally makes sense. All right. You want to talk a little bit about the remaining and last week of Big Ten play?
Yeah. Why don't we get into it?
All right. So Minnesota and Wisconsin are not the only Black Friday game on November 29th. Nebraska and Iowa will also play at 6:30 p.m. on NBC. Iowa is a 6-point favorite with the over under at 39.5.
I will say this. I will be very curious to see, say Minnesota wins, and then say Nebraska beats Iowa, because Iowa's going to be starting something called Jackson Stratton again.
Yeah.
Minnesota would be 7-5. Iowa would be 7-5. Nebraska would be 7-5. And let's assume Illinois beats Northwestern, puts them at 9-3. They're going to go to the Citrus. Who the heck would they put in the Outback Bowl between those three teams? Like, there are so many different scenarios here where I've had a long discussion with it with Dan Owen, who, if you haven't already, check my Twitter, check Blue Sky, check Gopher Illustrated, whatever it may be, and see his bowl projections, because there's so many things and so many balls still up in the air with how this thing could go. It wouldn't shock me at all that with the way that Iowa is just, I mean, if you can stop the run, which stopping Caleb Johnson, who is going to be probably someone that gets Heisman consideration from someone like myself. I know that I voted for him highly in the Doak Walker, and now he's a finalist for that. I mean, if you can get a lead on Iowa, which is a lot easier said than done in Kinnick Stadium, you can have a chance to do some things. But yeah, that's going to be one that on the car ride back when I'm driving home, I'm going to try to tune that in.
All right. For, I believe, the seventh game in a row, Ohio State will be playing on Fox's
Big Noon
Saturday. You got to think Joe Klatt and Gus Johnson just have to be sick of watching Ohio State.
Do you think they just got a VRBO in Columbus for the amount of time that they've spent there over the last 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's hilarious. Okay, Michigan travels to Columbus. 11 a.m. kick here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. The over-under is 42.5. Ohio State is a 21-point favorite.
I know college football is weird, and I know that Michigan isn't very good this season. I just think Ohio State is, especially with the way that they're coming off that Indiana win, they get this game at home. I know Ryan Day certainly wants this one, considering how it's gone recently. This is one Ohio State has to have, and I think it'll be one they do get. I will say it's going to be chilly at essentially every game north of the Mason-Dixon line this year, this week, because you look at this Ohio State game on Saturday, has got a high of 27. The next game we'll get to is in the 20s. Like, all of these games are going to be cold. So who can run the ball and who can't is going to be vital in every one of these.
All right. Number 25, Illinois travels to Northwestern for an 11 a.m. kick on BTN. This will be played in the temporary stadium in Evanston, Illinois. Illinois is favored by 7.5. The over-under is 43.5.
Are you surprised that a 2-6 in the Big Ten Northwestern is only a touchdown underdog?
Not really.
An 8-3 Illinois team.
Not really, just from the standpoint of it seems like Northwestern doesn't typically beat themselves and then can kind of stay in a game. So if the other team beats themselves, that being Illinois, maybe they can make a game of it. I think it's very unlikely that they make a game of it. But I could see how they get to the spread.
I just think Illinois is too gifted offensively with Pat Bryant, Luke Altmaier, I mean, Zachary Franklin, to allow Northwestern to stick around too long. But again, it's going to be below freezing. So
yeah,
we'll
I mean, but you got to keep in mind that Illinois got that eighth win on an incredible fluke, not fluke play, but like.
I mean, the whole situation
was
insane.
Yeah.
And so, trust me, I get it. And every game, yeah. Every team is kind of the same a little bit. But I think Illinois is on the top end of that spectrum, whereas Northwestern's on the bottom part of that spectrum.
Okay, Maryland travels to Penn State. This is a 2:30 kick. Penn State's favored by 50.5. And I have to think this is the end of Mike Loxley's tenure at Maryland after this game.
I don't know what his buyout is, or else I'd probably agree with you. I think it's still pretty substantial, which is why I think he sticks around. But can I interest you in get-in prices for the Penn State Senior Day at $5.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 6, Notre Dame travels to USC. This is a 2:30 kick. Notre Dame is a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under is 51.5.
What if USC wins this game? Does Notre Dame still get into the playoff?
No.
Notre Dame would be 10-2. They still have their one loss on the season. Is still a horrific one to a 6-5 MAC team.
Yeah, that's why.
But again, there's so many different things we can argue with. By the time people are listening to this, we don't know the college football playoff rankings as we record this. So I don't know what the committee is going to do in rankings 7-11. But I would say I think there's going to be an argument to be made if USC does win this game, in which they get it at home, they're only a 7-point underdog. If they win this game, I think you're going to see the SEC try to really bat their chest for a team like Ole Miss, per se, saying, well, look at who Notre Dame's best win is, because it's probably, I would say, A&M at this stage.
Yeah, A&M or Louisville.
And Army and Navy, but like, I would be very curious to see what the overlords decide to do with the brand that is Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think they'll get them in just because of the name recognition. Do I think they're worthy? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, Rutgers travels to Michigan State. This is a 2:30 kick. Michigan State by 1.5. The over-under is 47.5.
This is one that if you're going to be watching something on Saturday, keep an eye on Michigan State Rutgers, because if Michigan State wins this game, I feel very confident that Michigan State is going to Detroit, regardless of the results of the Minnesota game.
Mm-hmm.
The attendance in the Detroit Bowl with two Michigan teams in it, whether it's Michigan State versus Central, Eastern, or Western Michigan, is substantially higher than any other Big Ten team that attends there. It'd be a lot easier for everybody to get to. So if you are pulling for one thing this weekend, it is for Luke's boy, Joe Rossi, to be able to best Kirk Shiraka in a revenge game for both sorts.
All right. Fresno State travels to UCLA. This is a 2:30 kick on BTN. UCLA is an 8.5-point favorite. The over-under is 46.5.
Yeah, I'm going to be very curious to see what kind of UCLA team this is. They don't really have anything to play for because they're 4-7. I think there's going to be more bowl-eligible teams than there are bowls. So does a Fresno State team that's 6-5 come in maybe a little bit more motivated? We've seen UCLA love to shoot themselves in the foot over and over again, yet they're able to jump out of those holes. I don't know. I will be very curious to see what it looks like on BTN.
Okay, Purdue plays number 5 Indiana at 6 o'clock on FS1. Indiana is a 28.5-point favorite with a 56.5 over under.
There's no shot Ryan Walters pulls this off, right?
No. Nope.
All right, we'll move on to your favorite game then.
This is not going to be my favorite game. Washington travels to Eugene, Oregon to face the Ducks, the number one team in the country. It's a 6:30 kick on NBC. Oregon is a 19.5-point favorite. The over-under is 50.5. I would love to see Washington spoil a perfect season for Oregon. I just think it's very unlikely it happens.
I don't know that I have anything to add to you, the Washington Husky extraordinaire. I would say, can you get pressure on Dylan Gabriel? Can you be able to slow down some of that Oregon running game? But this is the beauty of the final week of the season. Everybody's banged up. It's rivalry weeks everywhere. Weird things happen. And I love to pull for weirdness in college football.
Yeah, I would feel a lot better if this game was at Husky Stadium in Washington or in Seattle, but I just don't see it happening. Yeah, very unlikely. So, yeah, we'll be back for a breakdown, Ryan, after the game against Wisconsin, which will wrap up the season. And then I know National Signing Day is coming. There's also going to be a bowl game to preview. So and as much as you want to... In portal stuff. Yeah, good point. So as much as you maybe want to be done with us, we're going to be around for a while yet. So, yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, and if you can't get enough of my voice and you want to see what I actually write with my own two hands, you can go to Gopher Illustrated, which, by the way, Luke, we got a Black Friday sale now through next week where 75% off to come read, unfortunately, what I have to say about everything with the portal, National Signing Day. December is going to be the craziest time of year for me. It's where I have the portable phone charger next to me at all times. You got coaching carousel stuff. So if you want to get behind the paywall or you're thinking of to yourself, what would be a great Christmas gift for the Gopher fan in my life? Getting them a membership at 75% off, where at the end of it, when you get to pay full price, you get Paramount Plus and Showtime for free included in it. It seems like it pays for itself to me.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening again throughout this entire season. It's been fun to talk some Gopher football. We appreciate our sponsors through this entire season, Homefield Apparel, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Team Dinkytown Real Estate. Again, this is a blast to do. Thank you for listening, and go Gophers.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.